in there.
Yeah,
it's
in this building.
Very manly conversation.
You're at mass.
We'll open up the Joint Committee on Transportation for Friday, and a very good day, I think, for the state of Oregon. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2001 and ask that Heidi Altmaier come forward. And Heidi, last night, gave us an overview of the bill, and I'd like Ms. Altmaier to come forward and tell us the differences between last night's version and the A24 that we have today.
Good afternoon, Chair Metzger, Chair Meyer.
Good news is the rest areas haven't changed.
You can tell who was here last night and who wasn't. You know, people know what's going on.
I'm Heidi Altmaier, Deputy Legislative Counsel, and I'm here today to walk you through just a few of the changes that were made from last night. In Section 3, we added that Section 3 is the congestion price pilot program, and we added Metropolitan Service District to the list of folks who will be coming together to work on that program. We also lowered the amount of the large vehicles that will not be affected by the pilot program to 10,000 and 1 pounds. In Section 5, and Mazen will speak more to this, or we just added a reference to 803-645. It's a permit fees that we added to the list of statutes. We lowered one of the title fees in Section 43 from $78 to $77. We lowered the plate manufacturing fees from 10 and 24 to, from 12 and 24, excuse me, to 10 and 20, and that's on Section 45. And as I mentioned previously, we added an amendment to 803-645, the permit. We also filled in the revenue numbers, thanks to Mathen from the Legislative Revenue Office, and those are found in Sections 52 to 54. In Sections 57, 58, and 60, just a little cleanup to clarify that the $24 million in the revenues that are generated that goes to ODOT will go to ODOT in monthly installments, but the $3 million that goes to the rest areas will go at the first of the year. And that's it. Mostly was all filling in the numbers from the revenues.
Thank you, Ms. Altmaier. Questions? Co-Chair Barr.
I wanted to point out that in Section 38 that we did, that you did add the language that if there is not adequate funding for the...
That is correct. I'm sorry I missed that. For the metropolitan organizations that serve Eugene and Springfield, if there is not funding to do the transportation scenarios that they've been asked to do, we will not require that they do those scenarios.
Any questions?
Any other questions? Yes, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, the change in the threshold on the congestion pricing model to 10,000 pounds, will that include, will delivery trucks and those sorts of vehicles fall into that category?
That's an excellent question for the department. I actually don't know that often.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, but if someone, Mr. Russell, are you in the room?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Would you want to come and just clarify for the record what the category of trucks that covers?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, members of the committees, Bob Russell of the Oregon Trucking Associations. Basically, over 10,000 pounds includes commercial trucks. Between 10 and 26 would include some delivery trucks. It would also include a lot of other trucks.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, follow up.
Thank you. Are there any types of commonly used passenger vehicles or trucks or light-duty trucks that regularly exceed 10,000 pounds?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, Representative Bailey, for the most part, passenger vehicles are 10,000 pounds and less. We increased that weight threshold a couple of sessions ago from 8,000 to 10 to pick up the balance of the passenger vehicles and the privately owned vehicles. There are a few vehicles that would be over 10 that would be private vehicles, particularly the pickup truck towing a trailer. The combined weight would be over 10,000 pounds, like a contractor or a landscaper or something like that.
Any other questions for Ms. Altmaier? Thank you very much. Mazen Malik, legislative revenue, please.
Mr. Chair, one other thing I should mention.
Yes.
Included a couple of more of the tax credits relating to the diesel engines. Tax credits, I inadvertently missed a couple of the sections that we needed in the bill. So you'll find those as towards the end. I think it might be 68 or 67, C and D.
Right.
Just to round out that section.
Yeah, and that was to conform with the legislation that's
been... That was just to conform, and it's the exact same as you will see it in House Bill 2067.
Yeah. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you,
Mr. Malik, welcome, and we have our revenue impact statement. Amazing how fast this can turn around sometimes.
So, okay. Co-chairs, members of the Mega Transportation Committee, Mazen Malik, Legislative Revenue Office, one of you would have two pieces of paper. The official attempt of the revenue impact statement and then a detailed sheet of a spreadsheet of two sides. Let me go through quickly and try to explain how we went with this and what are we doing exactly with it. The revenue impact statement would have the numbers at the highest level of aggregation. So you would have the amounts, let's say, in the line that says the highway fund. This is what comes at the highest level of revenue that comes to the state highway fund before it divides. So as you would see, the $79.5 million in 2009-10, in 10-11, 210, and then on the 09-11 biennium, $290 million, and the 11-13 biennium is $601.3. This is the biennium that 11-13, there was the level of agreement that this is the one that constitutes the base for this package of $300 million a year. Now, to go to the detail of these numbers, you go to this spreadsheet, and I'll start with the one that has the fiscal year on top. And the way we have this, it is because this package is not necessarily in the same breath as the packages I've been around before. It's a little different in configuration, how you do things. The difference is once you are in 91 days after signing die, set of registration fees take effect. Those are the registration fees and the total fees, and most of those, all of those, as a matter of fact, are for the light vehicles. And then the heavy vehicle registration does not kick in until January 1st, 2010. This is both of practical and the way to comply with the other state IRP and so on that we have. So once that starts in, you'd start getting these amounts, and you will not have another increase until about the October 1st, 2010. This is when the first weight mile increase occurs. First weight mile increase occurs in that time, and then shortly after that, you would have the January 1st, 2011, the first gas tax increase. or the whole, I mean, the gas tax increase. And now that's why we have it up to 1111. These are the amounts that will be coming, and the total up to that month is 143.99 or 144 million. Once you start coming in with the gas tax, if you move over to fiscal year 11, you would start looking at the fuel taxes at about 42.7 million. Your total amounts of revenue goes to 210. Now, the amounts that are specified in the bill, as you have the 24 million and the 3 million going to one for the long range plan and one for the rest areas, those are primarily monies that are going to the state or whatever these projects on top. And that's why you don't find them in the revenue impact statement, an equivalent amount going between the cities, counties, and state programs. That's the difference with the... immediately after that, you have distributions to your cities and counties, and those distributions at the 55 million, 36 million is still in fiscal year 11. The state ODOT gets about 92 million, 91.96. State program starts getting different amounts according to the bill. And because of these different programs and because you have your other amounts going to different uses on the top, 24 and 3, the cost responsibility ratios change with that time. However, you would see that the full fee paying vehicles, the full fee paying, that means the ones that actually have contributions to the pay and do not get reduced amounts, those you would have in the box in the middle going at about, you would see the heavy vehicles starting at 27.10 and going, but that's where it's not working properly until you are looking at the fiscal year 2012 that's in the full implementation. So there are 32.38 and light vehicles or basic vehicles at 67.6% of the total. These are amounts that are consistent with the highway cost allocation study. However, these change with the time because of the change in the makeup of the program. The program starts getting more towards the modernization phase and less towards the preservation and maintenance and safety phase. The final piece that you would have here is the amount that we are calling our tax expenditures. This bill has two definite tax expenditures that we identify. One of them is directly to farm vehicles from reduced registration. It goes only by half the amounts that the other vehicles receive, and you would see the increases in the tax expenditure for the farm since it's half and half. It's about $1 million a year. About in fiscal year 2012, you see 996. For charitable vehicles, that's about $139,000 a year for that total of about 1.12 or 1.18 million. These tax expenditures in consultation with the chairs, with the co-chairs and other members in the committee has, and they have to have the policy objective statement, and in your revenue impact statement towards the bottom, where we have the customary creates, expands, or extends tax expenditures, those statements that you would have.
And maybe I'll do that right now then, Mazen, and that's on the bottom of the revenue impact statement. So for the record, for the tax expenditure, the policy objective of the farm vehicles tax expenditure is to help support the valuable social and economic role provided by farming operations and to recognize their partial or seasonal use of the transportation system and the lack of growing the fee for charitable vehicles. The policy objective is to help support services provided by charitable organizations that fulfill a socially desirable function. Thank you, Mr. Mather. Proceed.
And finally, co-chairs, the last two pieces in the bottom, you would have the ID revenue. The ID revenue, this is going primarily to senior and disabled transportation, I believe, is your intent. And then the custom license plates, those are the vanity plates, going to Rail. Right?
To what?
Isn't it?
Rail.
Rail, yes, thank you. I thought you said fail, and I couldn't remember. To
well,
rail, yes.
That's not a policy statement.
Yes, thank you.
The other side of the spreadsheet, co-chairs and members of the committee, you would have the biennium or the biennial amounts for the pieces that we went through. This has been a very simple project to go through, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate all the little things that we had to go to provide the service for, that we'd like to give to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mather. Questions for Mazen? He does a good job at thoroughly confusing us so we don't know how to ask a question. That's usually what happens. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mather. Okay. At this point, I would like to ask some of our partners up. Of course, we had the public hearing last night, but I would like Bob Russell, Mr. Campbell, and Ms. Price to come forward. These folks represent the payors of this system, not individually, but collectively. Before you begin, I just want to say on behalf of the committee and everyone, thank you for all the great work that you've been doing and for the last 2 years and working with us on developing an investment in Oregon's infrastructure. So with that, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here representing AAA Oregon. First of all, I know you've heard this a lot, but I did want to thank the members of the legislative work group who have been working very diligently over the last several months, those legislators who worked with us during the Vision Committee, and, of course, Mazen Malik in Legislative Revenue and Heidi Altmaier and LC, who have had to do some tremendous work in a relatively short period of time, and of course all of the partners that we were able to work with on this side of the bench who have been working diligently to try to work through oftentimes very complicated and very contentious issues over the last several months. I did want to come forward today to let you know that AAA supports the package that you have before you. It is a package that is going to bring some much needed job and investments into the state of Oregon. It will help reduce congestion that our members experience. It will help the economy grow by making the transport of goods, which I know Mr. Russell will discuss, much more easy. Seldom have I been in this process and seen an opportunity where this much was done by this many people and we actually came out with a product that is a good product. And I know you have much more to do today, so I'm going to keep my comments there unless there are any questions and allow my compatriots to speak.
Let all three of you speak and we'll see if there's any questions.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, is Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations. This day is finally here. It has been a long time that we've been working on this, and I too want to thank everyone that's been involved, particularly the Legislative Working Group. You folks really did a lot of heavy lifting to get us here, and I too recognize the product, the quality of the product. It is outstanding. My board considered the proposal this morning. We finished their deliberations about noon. The Oregon Trucking Association is in support of House Bill 2001 with the Dash 824 amendments. Our support was not unanimous.
This is a very difficult time for the trucking industry, and although we've been working on this for a long time, given the economic climate, it was very difficult for us to get to the point where that we could support it. But we're also looking at long-term into the future and what it will do for freight mobility, what it will do for the economy of our state, and we're pleased to be here in support. And once again, I'm very pleased to be up on the podium with Mr. Campbell, and for the first time, the three of us are up here together. And I also want to thank Annette Price. She was part of the team and certainly helped us get there and made sure that we controlled our outside voice. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Price.
Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, yes, this is a long time coming. Some of you may remember a role I had about 10 years ago. There are some folks in the room in presiding officers' offices, in minority and majority offices, that have made this happen too. My role 10 years ago was as Policy and Communications Director in the Senate President's Office, which was the last time we tried to do something like this big. Except that was $150 million. The gentleman to my left, which is ironic, the gentleman to my left ended up being on opposite sides of the issue. And we were unable to invest in our infrastructure. Fast forward 10 years later, my role is the State Affairs Manager for the Port of Portland. The Port of Portland relies on the state's transportation system to help create tens of thousands of jobs, not only in the metropolitan area, but throughout the state of Oregon. And I would be remiss, there are a ton of people behind us today from local governments, from the business sector, from the environmental community that we have worked diligently with. And although we were not able to come to agreement on all the issues, we have established some very good relationships that we look forward to continuing in the future. And finally, to each of you, thank you. This is a big deal. This is about jobs in Oregon. And for us at the Port of Portland, there are some jobs over in East County that are going to be created as a result of your work at one of our industrial parks, known as the Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park, or TRIP. And I'd like to personally thank Representative Call for his work with us helping make that happen. So with that, Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, thank you.
Thank you. Questions for any of these folks? Representative Call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Ms. Price for your comments. I don't think that project would have ended up on the list of projects without your efforts, too. And you know probably better than anybody in this room that the Reynolds site means 1,000 jobs almost immediately and probably another 1,000 in the long run. And none of those would be there without this most important infrastructure development. And in a community that suffers with a poverty rate that's approaching 25% almost regularly, this is a much-needed investment in my community. And so this truly is a Jobs and Transportation Act for East Multnomah County. So thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Well, I'll just make one comment for these folks. And actually, there's only three of us up on the dais. We're here in 1999. Senator Starr, I think, Representative Gilman, myself, and went as freshmen, watched what our then leadership was doing. And I think we all learned a very big lesson as freshmen that year, is that you don't force things through a process and expect good results. You know, and there's a lot of people that came into this building, artfully so, because we've been working since Sine Die of 2007, you know, wanting a package January 5th, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. You bring people together on common goals and common objectives, meeting what's best for the state and for all the stakeholders, and then you get the result. And these two gentlemen in particular represent the payers, the truckers and the car drivers, people that pay for this system. And the fact that they have been arm in arm rather than opponents since the close of the 2007 session with a commitment to build the business of the state is really commendable to you and Annette for your leadership and working with everyone. So I want the rest of the committee to know how much effort. This hasn't been a session effort. This has been a 2+ year effort from these folks to help make Oregon a place in which business can grow and thrive. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Dennis Mulvihill and Paul Romaine. I'd like to have you folks come up, if you could please, and we'll start with Mr. Mulvihill.
Good afternoon. It's a good day. Sun's out. We got a long weekend in front of us. First of all, let me say that Tom Bryan, the chairman of the Washington County Commission, sends his regards and his congratulations for producing this, what he said, this well-balanced transportation package. As a longtime veteran in efforts to increase funding for transportation, he truly regrets not being here today. Playing with his granddaughter won out, frankly, and that was where he's at. Washington County supports HB 2001-A24. Like all legislation that Oregon is famous for, there are elements to be disappointed with and others to be joyous about, and of course this legislation is no exception. We were struck in listening to the testimony at last night's hearing how there was an emphasis exclusively on the policy matters of the bill to the exclusion of another really important element. What will matter most to the public? What will they get for their money on this? What we intend to tell our citizens is three things. Number one is that there's going to be 4,600 good-paying jobs per year as a result of this. Number two, there's a list of specific projects in the bill. They're going to know, if they pick it up and read it, what projects are going to be built with a large portion of the money. And I can tell you from our experience in Washington County, when we've done it that way, which we've done numerous times, we've never lost at the polls. People like to know what they're buying. And the third thing is that the public will want to know, we believe, that their prior investment of funds in their roads is going to be protected, because much of the money that's going to local government in this package is going to be put into the maintenance. Knowing these three things will help the public appreciate why there is a good reason to be satisfied with HB 2001-A24. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvihill. Mr. Romaine, welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm here representing the Oregon Petroleum Association. We, too, are in full support of the Bill 2001 as amended by A24. Our concerns have been answered. We basically are the tax collectors for you. We are completely satisfied with what you did with this bill. It was a great pleasure working with everybody, and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Mulvihill or Mr. Romaine? Seeing none. Okay. Committee will be at ease for a moment.
in here, goods and services.
We'll reopen the Senate Joint Committee on Transportation.
Thank you.
And just for those in the audience and for the members, our recess was because in our dash A24, there was one word missing. And so I want to point out to members, the co-chair and I have a new printed copy, which is now technically the dash A25, but to be environmentally sound, as we heard last night, we don't want to, you know, do any more trees than we have to. So the co-chair and I have the only printed copy of it. You may change your A24, and colleagues, it's page 23 of your A24, and it's line 2, after the word available, please add the word funds, F-U-N-D-S. And we apologize for the correction, but that is now the official A25. You now have a revenue impact and a fiscal impact with the dash A25 amendment. With that, Hans and Chris, would you please come forward from the governor's office, representing the governor's office and the department.
Mr. Chair.
Father coming up.
Representative Schaffler.
I would rather encourage Oregonians to use plenty of wood fiber products.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Gentlemen. Please. You're the final people to speak.
Oh, excellent. Chair Metzger, Chair Metzger, Chair Beyer, thank you for the opportunity to be in front of you this afternoon. I think we are very pleased to be here at the end of a long process. It has been quite a long couple of years, and this is the end of the road. So we thank you all for your work. Each and every one of you have put in a tremendous amount of effort, and we appreciate that and would answer any questions that you would have.
And your name would question.
Oh, sorry. For the record, my name is Hans Bernard, Deputy Legislative Director for the Governor.
Thank you, Hans.
Chris Warner, Governor's Transportation Liaison. I think Hans said it well. Just on behalf of the governor, thank you for all the work you've done. We started December of 2007 in terms of the Vision Committee, all the work we've done. I know people have come and gone, but the folks behind us, particularly the department, has been just stellar in terms of getting the information, providing it to the members and the stakeholders, and moving forward. And the governor is very pleased with the work product, and we look forward to moving this forward. So thanks very much.
The other one last thing I would add is there's an individual who's sitting over at ODOT right now, Victor Dodier, who has provided tremendous staff work through every iteration of this process, and without him we would not be here today. There are numerous others at ODOT, but I know Victor has spent many long hours, and we appreciate everything he has done.
Yeah, and I'm sure Victor appreciates that we're done on Friday before Memorial Day. Victor, I know you're listening out there. Thank you for all your work. And on behalf of the committee, Hans and Chris, for your great work, on behalf of Governor Kulongowski and his leadership, thank you for all the work you did through. You know, these are always difficult times, but you know, when you work hard, they end up in days like this.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Okay, one thing for the record, colleagues. This the proposed amendment that came in, it was too late, but I'm going to read it for the record for the intent. It's on page 16 of 2001, and this relates to the funding for planning grants to comply with the requirements of subsection 4C, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Land Conservation and Development may use any funds appropriated and allocated for such purposes. The funding made available shall be in addition to the level of funding allocated for transportation planning during the 07-09 biennium. That's not in the bill, but it's the intent, and for the record, I wanted to read that. Mr. Honeyman, would you like to comment on that at all? And then we'll be ready to move forward.
Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for reading that into the record. The intent is to ensure that the money used to reimburse local governments that are included in the greenhouse gas planning modeling and planning requirements come from new funds and not have the result of sort of cannibalizing, if you will, existing planning funds that department and Department of Land Conservation Development engage in.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Honeyman. Okay. Colleagues,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could I indulge
Representative Berger.
She won't come up, but Senator Johnson is in the back of the room, and has someone who is new to transportation and has never been on Ways and Means, without her help, I never would have been able to negotiate some of the things that are in this bill, and I just want to offer my appreciation.
And the committee as well. Senator Johnson does yeoman's work and our funding part, along with some of the partners here that we have at the dais in the Ways and Means Committee on Transportation, and been a transportation leader in many ways for many, many years. And thank you very much, Senator, for your leadership on all these issues. This would be an opportunity time for comments by the committee before we go to the vote. Anybody would like to comment on the bill that's before us or the journey that has taken us here? With that, I would like to recognize Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We saw we had some A22 amendments, and I appreciate all of the work that was put into this transportation package. This process should serve as a model of how legislators can work together to find solutions. Unfortunately, this plan falls short because we're not asking average Oregonians whether they can afford tax and fee increases that are being put upon them. If we truly made this transparent and accountable, then we should feel confident enough to send this plan to the voters. Without a referendum, we'll have no platform for educating Oregonians on the benefits of this plan. Instead, Oregonians are left with the following facts. This plan increases gas taxes by 25%. It increases vehicle registration fees by 60%. The increases will be paid by Oregonians whether or not they have a job. The increases will be paid by small businesses whether or not they're turning a profit. Gas prices right now are starting to increase. We do not know how high prices will rise to over the next 2 years. Throughout this process, we brought every special interest group imaginable into the discussion, but we did not bring average Oregonians into the discussion, and that's the reason why I brought this amendment forward.
Thank you, Representative Widener. Any other comments from the committee? Not then. Senator Starr.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash A25 amendments to House Bill 2001.
Senator Starr has moved the dash A25 amendment to House Bill 2001. Discussion. Is there any objection to that motion? So ordered. Senator Starr.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2001 as amended by the A25s to the House and Senate floor for the due pass recommendation. Is that the correct motion?
Yes. Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2001 as amended by the dash A25 amendment to the House and Senate floors with the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Starr.
Maybe I should have made these comments earlier, but under the when the opportunity was provided, but there's a couple of folks that I'd like to recognize. First of all, the leadership of our co-chairs here, Representative Beyer and Senator Metzger. It's a tough job to pull something like this off, and the fact that we're here today is a testament to their leadership. In addition to that, there's a couple of leaders that aren't in the room that also played a significant role in Speaker Hunt and Senate President Courtney. It was important to have their leadership in this process as well, and they sat in on every one of these negotiations, every one of these meetings. There are also individuals in the audience that I'd like to personally recognize and thank, and some that aren't in the audience. And you always, when you start naming names, you always leave somebody out. But I'm going to attempt just to name a few folks. Gary Conkling has played an instrumental role from the get-go on transportation. His partner, Tom Island, was a significant resource as it relates to research. Paul Romaine, Craig Campbell, Bob Russell, Annette Price, Dennis Mulvihill, Jay Clemens, John Rockowitz, and Mike Salzgiver. All of those individuals as stakeholders have worked hard to help to inform us as legislators and policymakers, as stakeholders in this process. And I just wanted to thank them for their efforts. Appreciate all of the late hours and long conversations and work that has gone into helping to create the product that we have here in front of us today.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Bailey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need to identify for the record a possible conflict of interest that I'll identify on the floor. I'm employed by a firm that is one of the few firms in Oregon that does congestion pricing and transportation planning.
Okay, we'll note that for the record. Thank you, Representative. Anyone down here? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody on this committee and the people that were in the work groups, because I understand and know all the work that went into this process. And I'll be voting yes on this package in committee today, but am reserving the right still to vote no on the floor. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you, Representative. Other comments? Okay, we'll go to Co-Chair Beyer.
I don't want to, if there's someone else in the state.
I didn't see anybody else before Co-Chair Beyer. Okay. Go ahead, Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to say that this has been a labor. Now, whether I add love to it or not, I am glad we have a three-day weekend coming up. I do appreciate everybody that's helped with this package, and I'm not going to identify everybody, and I'm going to say that there's probably every one of us on this dais probably has something about this package that we don't like and something about this package that we love. But in all total, I think this is a great package. I think it was a great process, and I think we have a good product that we can put out there. And I really appreciate the support that we've got from all the interest groups on this, and look forward to moving ahead.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senator Starr.
Just out of the abundance of caution, I'll declare potential conflict in that my wife works for a firm that potentially could benefit from this bill, the engineering firm.
Thank you, Senator. I also just announced that the Dash 825 amendments have been distributed electronically, and they are now available. I would like to say that this has been a great journey. I think the one person, in addition to those that have been mentioned, that I would like to thank and recognize today, I think is a real leader in this issue, is no longer with us, Randy Pape, who was with the Oregon Department of Transportation Commission, kind of chewed our ears off a few times back in 07, wanting it today. But as you know, Mr. Pape passed away a number of months ago, but it was his leadership, his business acumen, who really understood the importance of transportation and the investment and what it does for the state, not only for our communities, but for the movement of goods and freight and how business is successful when transportation works. And Mr. Pape was a tremendous asset to, you know, pushing us where maybe we didn't want to go. And but he was right. And we were right in the fact that it took time to get the message out. Sometimes when you're a CEO, you just kind of tell people to do things. But his heart was in the right place, and he knew exactly where we should go. So I do want to recognize on the record Mr. Pape for that. I also want to thank everyone who has worked very hard, all the committee members, all the staff that has worked very, very hard for this. This is a monumental day for Oregon. In difficult times, as the economy improves, we're going to have a transportation system which is going to say Oregon's open for business and come be here, expand here, and grow good wage jobs across the state. This is, I think, a remarkable piece of legislation. And for that, I'm going to go to a traditional roll call. I'll call the roll, and we'll go from there. So we're voting on 2001-825, and I'll start with Senator George.
Aye.
Senator Schrader.
Aye.
Senator Verger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Starr.
Aye.
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Bentz.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Widener.
Aye.
Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Call.
Aye.
Chair Beyer.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. It is unanimous. We are adjourned. Thank you.